Simon, brother of Andrew, known as Cephas, Cephas, rock, strength, or so it would seem, being a fisher and living outside, hauling in the nets, I guess strength and rock would seem to come to mind whenever someone would see me or hear my name. I wish I could tell you that that was always the case. I wish I could tell you that no matter what, I was always strong. After all, once I began to follow Jesus, He is the one who called me rock. And on one occasion, He even said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." I became the leader, the spokesman, the one who was always out there doing something, even if sometimes I found out later that it was wrong. I wish that I could tell you that everything I did was right and consistent. After all, who was it that stood up and declared, "I'm coming to you, Lord," and stepped out of the boat in the middle of the storm and the waves? Who was it that said, "Lord, I will go to prison and die for you rather than deny"? Who was it who stood on the mountain of transfiguration and said, "It's a good thing we're here. We need to build booths and make this a shrine"? Who was it that was so filled with confidence that he never thought anything bad could happen? Me. Me. The one who sought to inspire everyone else and to tell them, "I am the leader behind Jesus. Whatever He says, you do it. And I will lead out." Strength. Right. Always right. Even my brother Andrew had to learn that lesson. And I taught it to him at an early age. And yet, I came to learn that I am far too frail. I came to learn that my overconfidence helped my inconsistency. For you see, I was overconfident, thinking that I was right, thinking that I could solve all of the problems, thinking that I was the one to whom everyone else should look. And so when the crowds began to gather around Jesus, I would get out front and I would be the one who would direct them. And I became puffed up. Puffed up with overconfidence. Puffed up thinking that physically there was nothing I could do wrong. After all, I hauled in the nets when they were ready to break. Thinking that spiritually I could do nothing wrong. After all, Jesus said, upon you I will build my church. And yet, that horrible day keeps haunting me and reminding me of my own sinfulness. My sinfulness of pride. My sinfulness of overconfidence. My sinfulness of thinking of myself first. Because I thought of myself as first. And one day I thought of myself first, even before Jesus. I still remember that horrible night. That night where we had shared a meal with Jesus and where He told us someone was to betray Him and that He was going to be killed. Everyone started looking around saying, "Who is it? Who is it? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" And I stood up. And I didn't say, "Is it I?" because I knew I could never deny Him or betray Him. And I said, "Lord, I know it's not me because I will die first. And I am the one who made sure that we had swords to carry with us into the garden to defend Him. Defend Him to the death." We went in and He began to pray and to be sorrowful. And I said, "Lord, I will sit here and I will watch with You and I will protect You." I was surprised when He woke me up. Not once, but three times, having fallen asleep. But I was a strong one. Or so I thought. I remember Judas and the temple guards coming in and the Roman soldiers, and we picked up swords to use them, and Jesus said, "Put down your sword." And as they started arresting Him and pushing us around, I suddenly lost my confidence. And I ran away and I hid because I didn't want to go through the same torture He would. And yet just a few hours earlier, I had said, "Lord, I will die." My sin was my selfishness, my pride, my overconfidence. I thought I was really being grand. Because all of the other disciples stayed hidden, and as they took Jesus around, I went slipping into the courtyard of Caiaphas, waiting, hoping, wanting to know what was happening. Suddenly, as I was gathered around the warm fire, I heard a young woman say, "You know, I think I've seen you somewhere. Ah, I remember you were with that man they took away. I recognize your face." And with all the strength and courage I could muster, I said, "You've got the wrong man, lady. I don't know him. And I wasn't where he was tonight. I was never near that place." I moved away from the fire back into the shadows. Suddenly, one of the soldiers off to the side said, "No, I remember you. It was you. You were there with him." I'm sure I saw you with him. You were right by his side. Are you going to deny it? And as I backed away, I said, I was never with him. Never with him. You've got the wrong man. And as I backed up, I bumped into someone else and he said, but I saw you too. In fact, it looked just like you. I cursed and said, I don't know him. Leave me alone. Such strength. Such a tower of consistent love. And as I turned to leave, I saw them leading Jesus. And he looked straight into my eyes. I'll never forget the look in his eyes. Disappointment. And yet compassion. And so I rushed away and I found a place and I wept. And I wept all night long. All night long. For you see, for all of my confidence, for all that I had built myself up to be, I put myself before Him. For all the consistency that I hoped to be, I had none except for me. I wept all night. I heard that they were going to crucify him. And I wept and I wept and I cried, oh God, if I could only do it over again, how could you ever forgive me if I could only do it over again? He died that next day. And I found my way back to where the other disciples were hiding. And there was finger pointing. And even Andrew looked at me and said, brother, I thought you would die rather than deny. And I wept again off in a corner by myself. But I will also never forget that Sunday morning, that first day of the week, as some of the women came with a tale that was far too fantastic for us to really believe. And Mary said, he sent me to tell you to go and meet him. In fact, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I will meet with them. And when we met together, my heart that was breaking, my eyes that were afraid to look into his because of what I had claimed to be and what I had actually done, were elevated as he calmly and softly said, rock, look at me. And I slowly raised my eyes, expecting him to say, how could you do this? But instead, he looked me in the eye. He said, do you love me? I said, Lord, in spite of what I did, you know that I love you. And he said, show it by feeding my sheep. I forgive you. Be a rock. I fell on my knees. I confessed my sin. And I pledged to be a rock. I wish I could tell you that I was always strong and consistent. But I learned that in confessing my sin, the one thing that was consistent was Christ's love and His strength for me. I found many people in our fledgling church over the years who talked one way and lived another. I heard words like hypocrite, backslider, you who are falling away from grace. And yet I came to know through my experience with Jesus that no matter what I had done, no matter how inconsistent I might be, if I would realize and confess my shortcomings, ask sincerely for His forgiveness, and pledge myself anew, working to overcome my sin, that with His help and His love, I could overcome anything, even me. Even me. Perhaps you too are wondering. Perhaps you too have been inconsistent. Perhaps you too have become overconfident only to find the fall hard and long. But know this. In Christ, forgiveness is complete. Strength is available. And guidance can be yours. Overcome, because He has overcome even me. Sometimes we find ourselves filled with confidence only to fall flat on our faces. Sometimes we find ourselves thinking that we can fight the battles by ourselves only to prove how inconsistent we can be. But the good news is that God has been here in Jesus the Christ, has seen and experienced all of that in those around Him, and yet has proven that consistency can be found in forgiveness and commitment and the realization that God in Christ can overcome even me. And so as we prepare to sing our hymn of commitment, perhaps sometimes we have felt like Simon Peter. Perhaps sometimes we have been so overconfident that we think we can do anything only to find ourselves in need of being drawn nearer, because our inconsistency pushes us away from each other. But more importantly, we push ourselves away and keep ourselves at arm's distance from God. But like Simon Peter found out, Simon Peter, who was so up and I can do it all, only to turn around and deny because of himself. He was drawn closer and closer to Jesus. He became more consistent in His commitment, may we too commit ourselves anew as we plead to be nearer, still nearer. As we sing hymn number 567, our altar is open for any who would make a decision for Christ, for any who would make a decision to become part of our fellowship and worship and work from here, but also for any who, finding that our lives are sometimes inconsistent, would ask for that forgiveness, for that strength, and for that guidance that God gives us in Christ to overcome even us. Hymn number 567, Nearer, Still Nearer.